greetings from Griffithstone Baptist Church. It's always wonderful to come to this place to find out what you've been up to. So you've got this night shelter going on. It inspires our hearts for the great things that you are doing and all the other activities that go on here. Perhaps to you it's the normal run of the mill, but I know to us it's a great inspiration and to see the wonderful worship that you have and the fellowship that you have with each other. I'm going to pick three particular Bible readings. It's from James and Exodus and Psalms. James 4:8 is the first one. James 4:8. I'm going to then jump into Exodus 34 and then Psalm 139. So James 4:8. Says this in God's word, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Then it jumps to Exodus 34:14. Now this is a slightly different translation to the one you've got, but please bear with me. Exodus 34:14. Do not worship any other god. For the Lord, whose name is Passion, is a passionate God. You may have jealous in your translation. Then Psalm 139, verses 17 to 18. This is what it says. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we would ask right now that you would speak to us. Dear Lord, as your people, we desire your word and your understanding. For it says, dear Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And dear Lord, we desire that. We need that in our lives, dear Lord, that we would take sustenance from you. We would ask that your spirit would now carouse amongst us, dear Lord, so that he would enliven us. He would open our minds, our hearts, our souls to your word, dear Lord, so that we might be refreshed, that we might be rebuked, we might be encouraged, that dear Lord, you would take us to those pastures green, so that, dear Lord, we would be with you and you would speak to us, so that we would be sustained for the coming week, for what it would bring us. And, dear Lord, we ask, dear Lord, your presence in power and strength. We thank you and praise you, and God's people said. Thought you might find that particular translation of do not worship any other God, for the Lord whose name is Passion is a passionate God. Perhaps give us a different look on this. And really this exposition of God's word today is about passion. You know, you define your own limits. And especially the limit that you have with your relationship, the closeness, the trust that you have, the faith that you have with our God. However, God doesn't do the same for you. He has passion for you. He has faith in you. You may not even have faith in yourself, but he has faith in you. He understands you. He wants to encourage you. God wishes to draw close to you. But how passionate are you about him? Is your passion just as great that he has for you? We're defined, you know, by our passions. And I wonder what your passion is. Probably over this weekend it could have been for sport. Especially what Wales did. I don't really follow these things, but I noticed certain things on Facebook and of people trying to encourage Wales to do something. It could be our homes, those whom we love, those who we desire, our neighbour. It could be for our cat or our dog or even the car that we drive. But do you have a passion for God? Is your passion great for him as it is for you? It says in Exodus 34, do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Passion, is a passionate God. And then in Psalm 139, it says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, They would outnumber the grains of sand. Where is your passion? How many thoughts have you got for God? I wonder how many thoughts you've even had today for Him. Him who sees you as such a precious commodity, such a precious person. How many thoughts have you had these last few minutes, perhaps this hour, this day, perhaps for January itself, or 2012, or even for this coming year? Do you have in your life that you wish to have different thoughts, that you wish to be encouraged in a different way so that your mind may expand and understand the thoughts of God that He has for your life? How many thoughts have you spared for God over your lifetime? If I were to give you a bag, how full would that bag be? Would it need an aircraft hangar to hold them? Or would it perhaps only be enough to cope with a quarter of a pound of sweets for us oldies? Or 125 grams for those who understand what grams are? Where are you spending your thoughts? Are they fruitful thoughts? Are they thoughts that are positive and encouraging and enable you to grow as an individual? Or are they thoughts that destroy you? For the Lord doesn't have thoughts like that. He has thoughts to encourage you. He wishes to bless you. He wishes to lift you up. But do your thoughts take you to places which are dark, which are dismal? Because that is what people have taught you to have thoughts about. But our God is different. He wishes to place light inside of you, blessing and encouragement and beauty. For that is the person you truly are. God has so many thoughts about you. They're vast. They're full of potential. They have great wonder. They're full of imagination. They're so numerous that you as an individual couldn't count them in many lifetimes. This is what God thinks of you. What wonders He wishes to place into your life. The blessing that He wishes to give you as individuals. This is how much our God cares for you. This is how much our God wants for you. Yet how much do you care about Him? Do you desire Him with a passion? Do you have that in your life, a passion for Him? Or is your passion elsewhere? Loved ones of God, this is not to make you feel guilty, though that may be a start. It's for you to perhaps see outside of where your thoughts have been before, that you would have a passion for Him, for He has done great things for you. But are your thoughts for yourself and your pleasures rather than Him? Our God wishes to bless you. This is our God's desire. For God created this universe. Terry mentioned it in one of his poems that he brought. He is the one who was prepared to die and did die for you. He desires to have communion with you. But are you prepared to have communion with Him? Remember, you're going to spend eternity with God. And surely I'm sure that you wish to desire to know Him now rather than wait until you get to heaven. Or perhaps that other place where teeth will be provided. If you could hear God call your name right now, would you know how to respond to Him? Could you turn towards Him? Would you know the voice of God the Father, or perhaps the voice of God the Son? Or what about the voice of the Holy Spirit? Or are they strangers to you? Are they familiar, or do you not even know the voice of God who calls into your life? I wonder if you realize how many opportunities that God, who created you, who formed you, who has placed you within this place and is calling to you. Do you know how many opportunities that He has provided to you? Or is it that perhaps you prefer to turn your back and stay at home? That you fear of growing closer to a God because it means changes in your life. It means giving up those things that you cuddle and enjoy, even though you know that they do you no good. It says in Exodus chapter 3 this: Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from the bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. I wonder what would have happened to the people of Israel. I wonder what would have happened to the nation of Israel if, as Moses saw this sight before him, he would have said, well, I'm going to leg it out of here. I don't know what's going on. I wonder if he thought to himself, well, it must be that cheese that I ate last night, or I thought that vindaloo was off. And he ran from that place. What would have happened to Israel? What would have happened to us as a people? What would have happened to the kingdom of God that is upon this earth and should be growing and developing in our lives and others? How many signs of God cast your way for you to recognize him so that you might see him at work in your life? What is your attitude as the child of God? Are you recognizing the changes that take place? Is it that you think to yourself, well, I think I'm better that I stay out of the way? Or is it that you will get involved? For our God wishes to involve you in his ministry so that your ministry and the ministry of this church would grow and develop. For you see, he has placed you in a place such as this, for this is your shift. This is your time. You are here to fulfill his destiny in your life. For our God desires to be with you and for you to be with him, so that you might know his action, so your action would be in your life, so that you would draw ever closer to him. The issue is that if we walk away, then God cannot reach us. If we huddle in a corner with our backs turned towards God, then he can't get involved in our lives. If we show no interest, then he stands by frustrated because he wishes to be involved with his people. If we continue to look at this passage in Exodus, it says, when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. If you do not show God that you're willing to turn aside from the things in your life to approach him, then how can he respond to you? For God has been calling to you through all of your life. But are you willing to hear? Are you willing to be involved and ready for action? So you know when the time is right. It says in God's word that we must be watching and waiting. Do you ever watch? Do you ever wait? Are you ever attentive to the Lord? Or do you just spend some quiet time with him so that he might speak to you? Why should the creator of the universe, the one who keeps you breathing, the one who gives you food, the one who provides your resources, your life, the one who does all things for you, the one who sustains you, who wishes to be involved with you. He sent his son to die so that he could make a way back for you to him, so that he might heal you, to show his love for you, to teach you, to send his spirit. He's done all those things for you. But how much do you respond to him because of what he has done for you? What opportunities do you continue to miss? Or is it that you knew the first time, or should have responded at that time, and you've walked away? And God then tries a second time, and you walked away. And God tries a third time, and by that time your heart doesn't know really if it has been spoken to, if he has reached out to you. Yet he wants to desire to bless you, to encourage you. Yet your heart grows colder and colder, because your private passions consume you, and that you're not willing perhaps to give those passions up and change them for a passion with God. I'm always dismayed by the church in general. As we know, but perhaps this is some good news for us all, we've always been told in this country that the church has been on its decline. It has been for the last 30 or 40 years. And people have been leaving it by droves. But it's now stabilized. It's plateaued. And in many parts of the country, the church is growing again. We could have had an hallelujah there. At last. About time. And a lot of this growth is coming from our young people. Our God wants to be involved with us, but it's so easy to get dismayed by the people of the church and our reactions to God. It's funny how we're so absent from the things that get involved in the church, especially when we get times together of prayer and times of studying God's word. For our God wishes to speak to us. If you want to know the will of God, then you've got to know his word. For that's where his will is, and he's willing to explain it to you as God's people, but it comes from there. Or that time, you know, if you come before the creator of the universe that gives you everything, that has everything for you, but you're not willing to come before him and pray to him, to ask him, to reach out to him, both individually and corporately, then how can he respond to you? He's given you everything anyway. But if you desire to see his kingdom come, to grow closer to him, then you have to spend time with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You know, the God's word is so exciting if we just spend some time with it. And we have people who present God's word with passion for what God has done for them. They recognize that our God ever desires to draw closer to us, his people. And we have to be prepared to grow close to him, not because we can, but because we must. Not because it's convenient, and not because we feel guilty, though that would be a start, but because our God desires to bring pleasure to us, to enliven us, to give us lifeblood once again, because he loves us. Our God is passionate about you. Do you have any passion for him? The one whose name is passion, the one whose passion drove him to the cross for you. Are you prepared to have passion for him? The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the righteous one, the mighty one, the Lord Christ, the healer, the redeemer, the one who cares, the one who sacrifices, the one who serves, the one who's coming back, the keeper of your souls, the keeper of all eternity, the sustainer of the universe, the one who loves you so much that he bought you back from your own folly. The Lord of Lords, the only and one and only God, the one who deserves all praise and worship. This God has such a passion for you, but do you have a passion for him? This morning, what is your desire? To draw close to him. What is your desire for 2013, is it for you to grow closer to him, or do you feel that perhaps you need to be away from him? Much can happen to us in church life, but our God desires us, and we need to desire him so that he can be amongst us in power and in strength and purpose. Is it that you're going to keep our God this year at arm's length? Or perhaps this morning you want to make a commitment for the first time, or make a re-commitment that rather than walk away from him, you will walk away from your destructive passions, that you would change your passion from one that destroys you to the one that you would embrace, which is God, and that your life would become fruitful and full of purpose and grace and wonder. What are you going to decide this morning? Are you going to go close to God, the one who has passion for you? Or are you going to have a passion for the world instead? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for all those who are gathered here. Perhaps there's one or two here this morning that hasn't made a commitment to you. They don't understand the passion that you have for them. Perhaps the few words that have been said here this morning has opened a doorway that you could then enter in. Dear Lord, just spend a few moments of quiet that perhaps then you would minister to those individuals here, that as they reach out to you, you would reach out to them and say, "Welcome, my son, welcome, my daughter. Come and let's be together for all eternity." Let's spend a few moments of quiet then and ask the Lord to minister to us. We praise you, Lord, for the commitment of those individuals that have been made here this morning. Also, dear Lord, we give a time now for those individuals perhaps who have grown cold, who have walked away, or perhaps are struggling with spiritual things in their lives and physical things, and that forgotten your passion that you have for them. And that, dear Lord, we encourage and ask that they would turn back to you so that you would draw ever closer to them, that all you have to do is whisper and that they would hear you. Dear Lord, empower them. Give them such great strength and wisdom and purpose, dear Lord, in their lives, that they would be a wonder to behold, for they are a part of this fellowship and church. Let's spend a few moments of quiet then, so the Lord may also minister to you in that way. We thank you and praise you and bless you, dear Lord, that you are our God. That, dear Lord, you have ministered to us here this morning. And that you have spoken to our lives and we've drawn closer to you. In response, dear Lord, we now share with you together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread.